we attempted to outline Hashkafas Chazal with regard to making Hishtadlus for Parnasa. And what we saw, I think, very unequivocally, is that it's nothing less than a religious obligation. Number one, in a positive sense of asei tov, that it's a mitzvah to make hishtadlus for panasa. Godol haneni migia kapo, but even in halacha, it's quite clear that hishtadlus for panasa is a tzorach mitzvah. For instance, a person is not supposed to be maflig b'svina gimel yom kodem haShabbos, but the tzorach mitzvah is mutter. In such context, panosa is considered a tzorach mitzvah. And then we also noted the many ma'amori chazal that caution us that it's also a religious obligation, not only in terms of asei tov, but in terms of sur meiva as well, that kol she'enu melamed b'na umnus, kilu melamdo listus. But Chazal cautioned us against the yetzer hara of the gezel, and clearly not to make adequate hishtadlus for panosa compounds and magnifies that yetzer hara. That's what we discussed last week. But truth be told, instinctively, when we hear such a hashkafa, even though, again, I think it emerges unequivocally from innumerable mekoros and chazal, instinctively we resist accepting such a hashkafa. Someone whose attachment to Torah has become strong and intense, someone whose aspirations in Torah are real and challenging as they should be. So once a person understands the chashivas of Torah, somehow or other we're suspicious of anything which seems to distract or divert us from that exclusive preoccupation. And that seems to be a healthy instinct. Certainly seems to have its root in our Yetzer HaTov. And yet, the cause of Hasheni is that it seems unequivocally clear that the Torah does mandate Hashkafah such as that which we spoke of last week. What's the cause of Ashlishi here? So the cause of Ashlishi is to be found in the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Deos, Halachos Beis and Gimel, where he has his presentation of B'chol Drachecha Do'ehu and B'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim. Not so much, the long halachos, I want to be Mekatze, I'm not going to read them, but I think we're all familiar with it. But I'd just like to share with you two he'oris, not so much about what the Rambam says, but where he says it. Or more precisely, where he doesn't say it, where he doesn't place the halacha, and where he does place the halacha. The second one is more germane to what we've been discussing. The first one, which is absolutely remarkable, and probably something which a person should be mindful of every day of his life, is later in Perek Hei of Hilchos Deos, the Rambam has a Perek which he begins כשם שהחוכם ניכר בחוכמסו ובדיוסוב, והוא מובדל בהם משאול העום, כך צריך שיהיה ניכר במעשו, במאכלו ובמשקהו, ובבעילוסו ובעשייס צרוכו, ובדיבורו ובהליכו, ובמלבושו ובקלקול דבריו, ובמעשו ובמתנו. ויהיו כל המעשים האלו נועים ומסוכנים ביוסף. There's a higher standard for a chacham, a higher standard in everything a person does, in every realm of life, every type of activity in which we engage. So those who are chachamim have to hold themselves to a higher standard. And it's interesting that some things which we find in Pirkei Avos, the Rambam quotes here in Parak Hay, the Parak which he has introduced, again, as the higher standard for Chachamim. Right? It's not clear whether everything in this Parak is necessarily limited, but certainly for the most part, that's the emphasis here. In light of that, so I think we would have expected that if you have a mission in Pirkei Avos of V'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim, this demand that we strive, that everything we do, everything, without exception, all-inclusive, all-encompassing, everything we do should be L'Shem Shamayim. So I would have thought, once the Rambam has already made this conceptual breakthrough, that not everything in Pirkei Avos is addressed to each of us, but some of it is not addressed to us. Some of it is only addressed to Chachamim, to Gedolim, that Mishnah of V'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim certainly would have been an example of that. That Mishnah certainly should have been included in Parak Hay, not here in Parak Gimel, where the Rambam's addressing all of us. And yet it's here in Parak Gimel that the Rambam quotes this halacha of V'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim, that everything a person does is supposed to be measured by and oriented L'Shem Shamayim. That's in terms of what's to be gleaned from where the Rambam did not place the halacha. In terms of what's to be learned from where he did place the halacha, and again, it's this which ties in more directly with what the type of inyonim we were discussing last week, is again, as you'll recall, earlier here in Hilchos Deos, the first two pakim, as well as the first halach in Perek Gimel, have been about how a person is supposed to follow the Derech HaMemutzas, a person is supposed to follow the middle path between the extremes when it comes to Midos, and in the Rambam's, according to the Rambam's understanding, this is actually how we're Mekayim, the mitzvah of V'halachta B'drocha. Good. So that's the first topic which the Rambam takes up in Hilchos Deos. And now he's finished that topic, so now he wants to tell us about another very fundamental idea. But were that the case, so then the Rambam certainly should have finished the discussion of Halachta B'drocha, of the golden mean, at the end of one parak. And B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu and B'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim should have begun a new parak. And yet the Rambam, very, very conspicuously, doesn't do it that way. He lets the discussion of Halachta B'drachav again, which he identifies with the Derech HaMemutza'as, he lets that spill over into Parak Gimel, and only in Halacha Beis does he come to the ideas of B'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu. So clearly, and Be'emes, when you look in Halacha Aleph, so this is not just by inference, but it's almost explicit. One of the things, just parenthetically, one of the things that we sometimes miss in the Rambam, I think Reb Chaim and Mamshichei Darko after him, and the Rav did a lot to restore this, is the Rambam intended Mishneh Torah to be studied Keseder. That's the way he writes in the Hakdama. that's not the way your history basically has decided that Mishnah Torah be studied. We look it up in the Ein Mishpat. But when we look it up for the Ein Mishpat, so sometimes we don't really have the perspective in terms of what's happening within the Rambam. And sometimes we miss a lot because of that. And this is actually a perfect example here. The Rambam here is basically responding to the same type of question that we just asked. And that is, in Perek Aleph, in Perek Beis, the Rambam says again, you have to go to Derech HaMemutzas. What does that mean? That means that, yes, a person certainly should not go to the extreme of being driven to amass wealth. But on the other hand, he's not supposed to go to the other extreme either, where he doesn't even spend enough time to earn enough money to meet his basic needs. And yes, a person certainly shouldn't be any kind of hedonist or shouldn't be gluttonous in eating, but on the other hand, a person should eat a sound diet that will keep him healthy. Kohena v'chohena. So when you read this, and basically the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph raises the question explicitly, again, the same type of question bothers us, which, again, probably subliminally bothered many of us last week. How can it be? How can it be that the Torah is distracting us and diverting us? Isn't it good that a person should go to that extreme in his Avodas Hashem, that he's not interested in money at all, not even in minimally interested in money? And shouldn't a person's ruchnius be so strong and so defining that he doesn't even have interest in eating anything, and he should follow some kind of ascetic regimen? Shouldn't that be the case? Isn't that a fuller expression of devoting oneself to Avodas Hashem? So the Rambam says, that's why I now have to introduce you to the concept of V'chol Masech Yu L'Shem Shamayim. Because V'chol Masech Yu L'Shem Shamayim is the Kosov HaShlishi here. Again, the Kosov HaRishon is that it's, again, unequivocal in Chazal that a person is supposed to make Kishtavos for Panosa. And the Rambam tells us unequivocally that a person is supposed to avoid certain extremes, even though we see those extremes as being more spiritual. And therefore, our instinct is that they should be more authentic rather than being branded excessive or extreme. So the Kosov HaShlishi is, but if a person recognizes that the Torah says, B'chol drachecha da'ehu, and V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, so then we realize that when the Torah says that you have to make hishtadlus for panasa, the Torah is not thereby distracting or diverting us from Avodas Hashem, but the Torah is telling us that we have a too narrow definition of what that means. Anything which the Torah mandates, anything which the Torah says should be done, if only a person orients that and gears that L'Shem Shemayim, so that too is an act of Avodas Hashem. And that's what the Rambam says in concluding here. Nimtza ha-mahalech b'derech zu kol yomav oved es Hashem tomer afilu b'shoa shenosei v'nosein afilu b'shoa shehu yoshein. So that's the Rambam's Kosov HaShlishi, that yes, a person is supposed to make hishtadlus for panosa, what we were discussing last week. Yes, a person is supposed to moderate, again, when it comes to midos, what the Rambam's been outlining here in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, but that doesn't represent a compromise. It doesn't represent any kind of distraction or diversion, but on the contrary, it's rather that the Torah says that one's Avodas Hashem, there are many fronts to it. And it's a mistake, and a big mistake, for a person to think that only the hours that he's privileged and that he should seek to maximize and increase to the best of his ability that he spends in the Beis Medrash, that only that time is l'shem shemayim, and everything else is ke'ilu kfa oshev. But that's not correct. Of course a person is supposed to be marbe kefi kocho, or kefi meitav yecholto, in the amount of time he spends learning, in the amount of time he spends in formal tarayag mitzvahs. But a person has to realize that the whole idea of b'chol du'achecho da'ehu and b'chol ma'asech yi l'shem shemayim is that a person can and should be, remembering the first order, that this halacha is not in Perikei. This is addressed to each of us. Each of us, b'asher husham, that a person can and should be oved es Hashem tamid when he's making the hishtadlus for the panasa, when he's, again, avoiding that extreme of not even eating enough to keep himself healthy, v'chulu. This certainly reinforces something very, very basic. It's certainly true, again, even within Talmud Torah and mitzvos formally defined, but in many ways it's even more true here. And that is that something that we have to be on guard against, and it's certainly one of the things which we are most susceptible to, that human nature is most prone to, is that we all have routines, whether you're in college now and that's the routine, or whether learning full-time, or whether holding down a job. So we all have routines. We all have routines. And the danger is simply going about the routines automatically, mindlessly, and without thinking. Now, why is it that the danger is even greater outside of Torah and Mitzvahs? Because Achrei Kechlos HaKol, Torah and Mitzvahs are intrinsically meaningful. And as flawed and as undesirable as it is, even if a person is not stopping to think and reflect about what he's doing, but what he's doing is just intrinsically meaningful and intrinsically holy. But when it comes to going about one's routine, going to work in the morning, writing out checks and paying your bills, when it comes to a person's routine, so these things are not, obviously not intrinsically meaningful the way sitting and learning Blad Gemara is, the way davening is, the way doing a chesed is. And here, the difference between someone who is not masiach das, someone who remains focused and oriented and geared l'shem shamayim, as opposed to someone who just, again, on automatic pilot, goes about his routine, is the difference between night and day. And when you stop and think about it, that, again, it happens totally passively. It happens too often without our even being aware of it or sensitive to it. This reflection in the morning of what I'm trying to accomplish by going to work, or any other milei d'alma which I need to be involved in, that awareness can make the difference between spending 40 or 50 years of one's life in Avodas Hashem, or 40 or 50 years of one's life not involved in Avodas Hashem. And it's staggering, absolutely staggering, how, again, those few minutes in the morning, maybe once or twice during the day, at night, to reorient oneself, makes the difference between Avodas Hashem tamid kol yomav. Because when you think about it, the average person, when you make a cheshbon of how many hours the average person spends on the job, how many hours a person has to spend eating, such as sleeping, it's decades of one's life, probably the majority of one's life. And these few minutes, again, of orienting and reorienting oneself can make the difference between Avodas Hashem tamid and Rachman Litzlan missing out on that opportunity. It's a klal gadol b'Torah, and it's also that, again, which underlies such hashkofas as that we spoke of next week. Lineda will have other occasions as well, that again, these seemingly moderate hashkofas, there's nothing in it which is distracting or diverting us, but it's simply a manifestation of this fundamental idea of V'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim.